So I'm going to think about flight tonight, which of course is a subject dear to my own heart because I've come through the training of aeronautics. I was for 4 years working for the Royal Aircraft Establishment, and that was before I went into combustion, which is what I do my main work on now. But I'm been involved for a long while in aeronautics. Some facts then about the flight in the living world, and then, as it says, they're about complexity and information. So anything which flies really needs attention to detail, and it needs purpose and very careful precision in the makings of it, as was found out when Columbia sadly blew up as it was coming back into the atmosphere, and then there was that terrible accident to Challenger some years before. You really do need to get things right, and of course NASA have learnt the hard way on that, and we've every sympathy with the families of those who died, of course, in that dreadful accident recently. But you know, it really draws attention to the fact that you've got to get things precise. And anything which flies requires precision. These Arctic terns, which fly 12,000 miles from one pole down to the other pole, just because they like a bit of sunbathing, and they get more of it in the Antarctic during the southern, summer there. And then they have to fly all the way back to the North Pole, and the only thing that stops them is predators on the way. Remarkable creatures. And yet people say they just sort of happened. And I want to show you that really that just is not the case. There's been the urge to fly, of course, for many, many centuries before finally the Wright brothers, whom we celebrate 100 years of aviation this year, of course, got it right. And that chap dived to his death on the left. He didn't get it right. He didn't understand the need for hollow bones and power to weight ratio to be right. And this chap on the right, well, he was cheating, of course, because he wasn't having a heavier than air machine. So that didn't work. And the Wright brothers, of course, got it right in North Carolina just about coming up to 100 years ago exactly. And there have been other claims to powered flight, but I think the Wright brothers really do have it, because although they were a bit unstable, they did manage to get that aircraft going. Of course, the French had to get in on the act pretty quickly, as they flew first across the Channel and tried to, you know, perpetuate the wars, the Napoleonic Wars, and we've never forgiven them ever since. But there we go. Blériot landed as if to claim England again. But there we go. And there are many creatures which fly, of course, and I'm just going to pick out one or two. The black kite shown on the left, a kestrel shown on the right. Kestrel because it has this remarkable ability to hover and is able to, just by flicking its wings. If you look at a kestrel next time you're going down the freeway and you look at the way they just sort of stay in midair, not by using the hummingbird method of hovering, but by a completely different mechanism, just flicking the outer part of their wing and using their tail feathers as well, and they dive down, of course, to get their prey. Remarkable observation when we look at the kestrel. And I want to look at a number of flying creatures, but those are just a couple there. Day five, of course, was when all the flying creatures, as well as the fish and other creatures in the sea, were made. How remarkable, of course, that was the flying creatures made before day six, when all the land creatures were made. I think God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? In that he puts those things which we might say, oh, those should have come afterwards. He says, no, I made them before. I didn't need land creatures. I didn't need lumbering reptiles in order to actually make flying creatures. I made them beforehand. And of course, any idea that there's an evolutionary progression is complete nonsense. When you actually come to the scriptures, it does not fit. The scriptures have no notion of evolution from the beginning to the end. You cannot fit evolution into the Bible. And that, by the way, is the burden of my book, Genesis for Today, which deals with a lot of those things from a biblical point of view. Well, let's just consider these two things. One of them's designed, they say, but I would suggest to you that both have to be designed. Just look at this.